You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Wednesday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are. And greetings from the great state of North Carolina, a little bit south of Jacksonville, in a community called Holly Ridge, where my oldest son lives. John, along with my daughter-in-law Susie and my grandson Finn. Yeah, so pretty interesting and sad day yesterday as I flew back here. Interesting in that it was the first time since late February that, you know, I've traveled, and so kind of interesting to see, you know, what's going on in the airports and, you know, what's going on airplanes. And to be honest, other than some cosmetic changes, not a whole lot different, right? You stand a little bit further from other people in line. You wear a mask while you're in the airport. Most people do. And again, I was in 1, 2, 3, 4 different airports yesterday. And even that varies by state and locality. So in some places, you know, you go in the airport and it seems like everybody's masked up. And then other places, you know, people are selectively masked up. And so so that was interesting. But, you know, one of the thoughts that struck me as you know, I kind of traveled was how helpful everybody was. Which is, you know, I always talk about when you turn on the news, that's not the United States, right? I mean, that's one of my signature things, that the people of this country are so much better, right, than what we see on the news. And so what the news is, it's an amalgamation of the craziest shit designed to either to keep you watching or to make you click, right, to register a hit, right, to register a view. So they can convert that to revenue, advertising dollars, right? So that's what the news is. It's an amalgamation of that. And so the reality is everybody was nice yesterday. And so it's like everybody gets it that, hey, first of all, it seems like people are happy to be out and about. And then they do what Americans always do, which is, respond better than people would have you believe. And so, so that lesson reinforced to me again yesterday is how great people are in this country. And whether it was, you know, the Uber driver to the airport, the people at John Wayne, right, walking through the airport, getting on different planes, you know, just talking to people, whatnot. You know, you get a sense of how good the people in this country are, which is, you know, which is so much different than if you watch your TV. And then from Denver to Atlanta, and then Atlanta to here in Jacksonville. I don't know that I haven't flown recently through Atlanta's airport, so kind of an interesting little event. So once again, you know, my takeaway is how great the American people are. And which is a consistent theme on this show, that I don't care what challenge, and we could, whether you want to talk about taking down statues or not, you know, is it, so the question is it time to deal finally in the American Civil War? Right? Whose long shadow whose long reach cast a shadow over communities? I think the American people are fully capable of having a conversation about that. I think the elected bodies are fully capable of doing the right thing, right, relative to that. I mean, that's, you know, my thought. And if, you know, if the way the population feels about these things, you know, changes, then what's the responsible thing to do with our history if we don't want it in certain places anymore? Yeah, if in my opinion, if your solution isn't to build it out and tell the whole story, then what? What are we going to do? Do we just throw it away? Which is wrong. So, but, you know, communities, elected bodies, I mean, they should have that conversation. And you know, America's fully capable of that. And so, again, you just getting out and about reinforces your belief in the goodness of the country. If you sit and watch what comes through your TV, I think quite naturally you'll drive yourself out of your mind. The next thing, the sad part, yesterday, you all know F-18 man, right? My friend Kurt Knowles, our air officer in Afghanistan. And then through him, if you listen to the program, you've met Peyton Davis. And Peyton lost her sister yesterday, her younger sister, to COVID-19. And in a very short period of time. And so just heartbreaking, beyond heartbreaking. You know, she lost her father several years ago to suicide. If I'm not mistaken, on the same day. Yeah. And so, you know, getting texts about what was going on, and, you know, they airlifted, you know, her sister. And you know, from somebody who's done thousands of medevacs, I think, you know, when you're able to move somebody from one hospital to another, that's normally a good sign, even if they're in serious condition, because they were stable enough to move. And, you know, doctors are pretty, you know, adamant. They were pretty adamant about you know, not moving somebody who's not stable enough and they're not sure what's going to happen. So, yesterday, it's heartbreaking is not even the right word. I mean, it's heart crushing. You know, just a young girl, you know, in her teens. So, today, just want to say thoughts and prayers go out to, you know, Kurt and Peyton and their entire family as they mourn the loss of, her younger sister. So, and then just another lesson how cruel life can be, you know. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. I don't pray for people to live because I don't think God's in that business. My experience with all the life and death that I've seen is God doesn't answer that prayer. I'm not sure who's in charge of it, but he or she doesn't appear to be and doesn't answer those prayers. But I prayed on Sunday. And I'm not pissed off at God, but you know, or anything like that. But life is cruel. Life is cruel. Life can be cruel. And it reinforces to me the importance of post-traumatic winning. Over the last few months, the experiences that I've had, people reaching out to me. Somebody whose only daughter hung herself, 14 years old, reached out. Can you help? A woman who lost her 45-year-old husband. They have 5 kids, a blended family. 2 of the 5 kids from the first marriage, their mother committed suicide. And, now this, and there's other incidents, but, for whatever reason, they find post-traumatic winning speaks to them in their darkness. And so, you know, it reinforces for me the importance of what I do. It reinforces to me the importance of the truth and the path, Interstate 4, as I call it, that leads to post-traumatic winning. But, I'm not much of a prayer. I don't think God answers those. And I know people are going to say, oh, Mac, you're just... And no, I mean, I've just seen it too many times. I often say, you know, the God who governs the flight of metal through the air is a fickle God, right? Why does it miss him and hit me? You know, how could that person walk away from that? There's no way given the destruction, you know, that was there, that it all misses them, you know, and he's a bad person too, on top of all of it. So not only is it like head scratching, right? It's completely dumbfounding when you look at it. So, I think in relatively short order, in my first deployment to Iraq, you see so much of that and you're like, I don't, you know. The randomness and the lack of rhyme or reason. It's not like the good people don't get hit. They do. So the question is, you know, did they not pray hard enough? And so I think you quickly conclude that, you know, while there are no atheists, you know, in a foxhole, God doesn't, the reason you survived or the reason you die isn't because God willed that. And at least that's my conclusion anyway. And so yesterday just seemed like a cruel, cruel day when life piles on top of somebody. And I don't believe that God is part of that piling on process. And so anyway, my thoughts and prayers go out to Peyton and Kurt and, you know, their whole family. So keep them in your thoughts and prayers. That made yesterday, you know, not so fun. And then getting here to Jacksonville, you know, where my son, and get a chance to see my son and daughter-in-law, my grandson. That's always a good time and a good day for it too, to be honest with you, because I certainly needed that. So that always fun. One of the things, though, that as I was getting my rental car, I'm standing in line in the Jacksonville airport. Jacksonville, small town, right? But a pretty nice airport because of all the traffic that comes in and into the region. especially for the Marine Corps base here. But anyway, so I'm talking to the rental car guy, and I said, how many flights you guys get a day? And he said, 4. And I said, what's normal? He said, 10 to 20. So think about that. Think about that and then multiply it all across this country. That, I mean, I flew from Denver to Atlanta on an airplane that would never fly that route. Never fly that route. And it was, so on the airplane, it was 2 seats on the left side, 2 seats on the right side. Right. So, I mean, that's normally a regional, you know, jet that, you know, supports flying from Duluth, Minnesota to Fargo, North Dakota, right? Smaller crowds, not Denver to Atlanta. But that's what companies have done to maximize, seat capacity while minimizing fuel cost. And so, but think about that. At some point, those bills got to be paid. All the revenue that isn't going into county budgets, city budgets, you know, airport authority budgets, right? At some point, all those bills have to be paid across the country. You know, your tax is going to go up. Something's got to give. Federal government not going to be able to rescue everybody. So, I mean, the impact of that, I think, is the economic impact coupled by the long-term, the long-term data that comes out of the COVID-19 thing, I think is gonna be a sobering, after-action report for people, you know, in the public health business, and really for elected leaders, more so the public health people, because the public health people are going to say, well, all we can do is give you our best opinion, right? Every one of these viruses is different. And so you're asking us for perfect advice in an imperfect world. We're giving you our best advice, but at the end of the day, elected officials make those decisions. And then elected official is going to have to balance the economic carnage that comes with some of the things that we've seen happen in the country. And I mean, for instance, shutting New York City down, who is going to bail out New York City, right? And their decisions based, I mean, to me, the people in New York bail out New York City. The people of North Carolina shouldn't bail out New York City. Because their governor took whatever steps that they're going to. If you want to take those steps, that's fine. But the people at your state can pay for it because they vote for you. And then your election will be a referendum on your body of work. And you can live or die by that. But and that's, to me, the appropriate way that this should work. So if your taxes have to go up because of the decisions the mayor made, when other mayors were making different decisions, then so be it. And to me, the long and short of it is, as we look at these issues, is there's a balance that you have to strike between public safety, right, and the economic realities that you face. And so this whole thing of putting the country in check, you know, 80% of the deaths in Canada have come from senior living facilities, 80%. And we're seeing that everywhere. You know, I said yesterday, I think there's been one death in the DOD, 1.3 million, you know, skewed to younger, skewed to healthy people. One death inside active duty component of the DOD. I think total there's 3, 2 guard, you know, people. But again, they're living in communities. You know, more, you know, they're not, well, the guard, a little bit different, right? More civilian than they are military, right? Called upon, they become military. But their lifestyle, certainly, you know, the civilian lifestyle, except on their weekends and when they're mobilized and stuff. So to me, the you know, in traveling, that's one of the things that you see, you know, stores in airports, major airports, the Atlanta airport, the Denver airport, closed. Don't even open them. And so all that commercial activity, you know, not going to be there. So anyway, country's going to have a reconciliation to make. And it's going to be real sobering when, so you're going to have two choices. You can raise taxes because, again, you know, bailouts and things like that. The federal government can't bail everybody out. And even if they did, like, at some point we're all going to pay for that. So to me, it's appropriate that local entities pay their own way. And that is a referendum on their local leadership. You don't get a pass because you're what, New York? Because you're California? You get a pass because of the measures that your elected officials take? No, that's not the way we do it here in this country. So anyway, the so that was kind of an interesting story out of Canada, which again just affirms, you know, all the other data that, you know, that when these things happen, you know, the longer breath is, young, healthy people are going to get through it. And, you know, the most vulnerable people in our population have got to be segregated and protected. Interesting story coming out of the FBI, and that is that the noose hanging in Bubba Wallace, who's a NASCAR driver who's black, in his garage at where Talladega or someplace, that news. The FBI has concluded that news has been that piece of rope, whatever the hell it was, has been hanging in there since 2019. Now, I'll make a point to you. There was a guy who committed suicide. I want to say in Victorville, California, which is northwest of Los Angeles. And he's black, hung himself. All indications from the police were that he committed suicide. And family members said that they suspected, you know, he was struggling. They suspected that he committed suicide. The headline, though, that goes around the country is, you know, and again, journalism, you know, is supposed to, you know, rely on two confirmed reports, but you see the word lynching used, lynching suspected, you know, in Southern California death, and I saw. You know, a series of those headlines. And as we all know, does anybody read the retraction? Does anybody pay attention to the retraction? Good question, right? So again, I mean, I the more we go through this, you have commercial journalism, which sees as its a place to find money, the most sensational headlines, you know, that can be published. And I believe that's to the detriment of the nation. I believe that's to the detriment of the nation. And so it's like, you just shake your head and you see this crap that's not linked to the truth, that's incredibly irresponsible about really important issues. Okay? About really important issues. And the reporting is not the reporting of adults. It's the reporting of people who are consumed with revenue, with ratings, and being first and screaming the loudest. And so I would tell you this. I just, with the people I deal with on a regular basis, I can sense like greater frustration. in with what's going on in the country. And everybody's, you know, portal to the country is, you know, what we watch on the news. My, you know, my advice to you is greatly limit your news consumption these days. Because honestly, there's, you know, people's levels of duress are going up. Are there things around the country that we should be concerned about? Yes. Again, find credible news sources and read those. The Associated Press, I would tell you the Wall Street Journal. Beyond that, the list is not, you know, the list is not subscriptions. It is individuals. Michael Gordon writing on defense. Okay, and other selected people. Robert Burns writing on anything he writes about. Credible people. And read their stuff. But by and large, the garbage that gets put out by the media is driving one thing, revenue. Know that. And it's at the detriment of the nation. Because you now have a group of people that because they see it in the news, they believe it's true. And it's not. So good morning on this sad Wednesday morning. And again, yesterday, another lesson of how cruel life can be, how important it is to be there for each other, how important it is not to shy away from the truth, that there is no silver lining, right? But you can get through this. You can use it to change the lives of other people and help them. And really, it's the only path to living a great life. Otherwise, you're talking about endurance. You're talking about denial. I can medicate myself. I can go talk about it. But that doesn't get you to the good place. The only thing that gets you to the good place is to use bad things. So that when other people go through similar things, you can be there. You can stick your hand out and say, hey, I want to show you a place. I want to show you a path. I know because I've had to walk it myself. Would never have chosen it, but have had to walk it. So, again, keep Peyton's family, keep Kurt's family in your thoughts and prayers on a day that yesterday was just awful. So, good morning to you. Thanks for making All Marine Radio part of your day. Jack Hoban's going to join us today. Jack's been on the program before. We're going to talk about a concept called the Ethical Guardian. And Jack, one of the guys who was instrumental in the founding of the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program, MCMAP as it's known, and then spun, Ethical Warrior as a concept in that, and then spun off Ethical Guardian. And he said some really interesting stuff, you know, this difference between a warrior and a guardian. And he says this, which I find very interesting. He said, you know, people, you know, that are raised, police officers that he's talking about, are raised in a culture, and, you know, a lot of them are former military and the whole warrior thing. And he said, I want you to get that out of your head, right? And he says he gets these goofy looks, like what? And he says, let me just give you an example, the difference. And he said, so what I'm talking about is not non-confrontational, right? A guardian doesn't shy away from confrontation. And so he uses this example, and you'll hear him say this in the interview today when we talk about policing. So he'll talk to a police officer. He says, okay, there's a bear in the area. Are you nervous? And everybody goes, well, yeah. And then he says, there's a bear with a cub in the area. Are you nervous? Are you more or less nervous? And the answer, he says routinely and honestly, is what? I'm way more nervous. Yeah, I'm way more nervous because if somehow or other Mama Bear believes I'm between her and her cub, she's going to eat me. Maybe. She might just kill me. But it's not going to work out good, right? And he said, boom. That's what we're talking about. It's not a passive event. It's a different viewpoint, though, and a different approach to the way you do it. And so, and I'll give you just a little tease. I mean, so, you know, if you're not, if you as a senior officer on scene in that Wendy's in Atlanta, if you're not confident that you and your partner have the physical skills at grappling, right, as you try to subdue a suspect, knowing that chokeholds aren't allowed anymore, do you try to take him down, or should you simply key the handset on your radio and say, hey, I need at least two other bodies here to do this, right? And you might take some heat from your friend saying, hey, what happened? Like, well, he's new. He hasn't been through the program, right? He, you know, he's just starting out. I wasn't sure, so, you know. So, you know, you use Jack's phrase, manage the battle space, right? And then when you get, you know, four guys and, you know, you take the subject into custody and there isn't a fight, he doesn't get away. And he said, so it's different. It's a different mindset. Now, you know, is that always available to everybody? I don't know. But I just use that to illustrate. So Jack Hoban's going to join us and we're going to talk about something that the country's talking about, from reforming reforming the police. The editorial that I mentioned yesterday that's in the Wall Street Journal, and there's another one today about systemic racism in policing. I think it's important if you go back and look at it about what the data says. And his point is this. He says, Black men are more likely to be bothered by the police and more likely, especially in situations where there's not a shooting. So in non-lethal situations, Black men are more likely to report an unprofessional or a situation that they felt like they were got treated poorly by the police than whites. And he said, so that is a fact. He said, it's just a fact of the data. He said, separately from that, in unarmed shooting, there's no indication that race plays a role in it. So what happens, he says, is people don't read both conclusions, both in non-lethal and lethal. They cherry pick his data to make whatever argument they want. And so that's why it's such a great article. Anyway, all of that, you know, is the backdrop that we talked to Jack in. So, good stuff coming up here in about 27 minutes. So, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. This is dedicated to Peyton Davis, her family, and Kurt Knowles and his family, Peyton's uncle. And just know that a lot of people love you guys and can't imagine your pain today. But we love you and, you know, we're here for you. And So sorry, you know, for your terrible loss.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake but learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fighting. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather here. So up the coast in Quantico, it is partly sunny and 78 degrees as the day gets going here on the East Coast. Camp Lejeune, about 30 minutes north of where I am, is cloudy and 77. Marine Corps Base 29 Palms has sun and 79 right now. Camp Pendleton, clouds and 63. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 70. Okinawa, dark cloudy and 82, so steady state there. In the Helmand Province of Afghanistan, it is sunny and 103. In Ramadi, in Iraq, in the western part of Iraq, it is sunny and 104. At the home of All Marine Radio, Holly Springs, North Carolina, where it's cloudy, it is 77 degrees. Looking for a high of 88 today. On Thursday, 83 degrees with thunderstorms. On Friday, partly cloudy and 86. Saturday, partly cloudy and 86. On Sunday, partly cloudy and 90. But I'll be back in California by then. So that is a look at your weather this morning here on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio. More of this coming up next. We'll check news headlines as we head to the top of the hour. Jack Hoban going to join us, And here, let me read you an email. Mac, thoroughly enjoyed you talking about your mom yesterday. It's kind of interesting. You don't know me, and I've never emailed. But I know you. I know your family. I know your friends. And it was really cool to hear you talk about your mom. Brought back good memories of my mom, who was a wonderful woman who I miss every day of my life. And just wanted to drop you a note and tell you how interesting I found that yesterday. Somewhere, I hope she's proud of you. Yeah, me too. I mean, honestly, that's one of the thoughts I always have when somebody, when you do something good, you're like, damn, I wish my mom was still here to see that. And there's one more. Mac, I laughed and was touched by the things you talked about your mom. In the post, a picture of her with the machine gun is hilarious. It is the exact dichotomy that you were talking about. She's dressed very elegantly in her pants and blouse, and then she's got an M60 that she's sporting like she knows what she's doing with it. Too funny. And then you standing next to her as a lieutenant laughing, knowing that she's not real comfortable. I loved it. The pictures were awesome. God bless your mom. No, I just want to thank people for those things that they wrote. Yesterday my mom's birthday. So anyway, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends, these are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I used to play this song every morning in this spot in the show. And it's a song sung by Peyton Davis. The title of the song is called Hurt. And, you know, Peyton talked about this song on the program, how it spoke to her after her father committed suicide. And so that's where the song comes from. I can't imagine the hurt today.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere so I can finally cry these tears. When I reach there, I'll scream, yeah, I'll let it all out. But right now it's just me alone on this earth. So I'm gonna sit here and watch this cigarette.
That song's called Hurt, and it's by Peyton Davis. Again, who just lost her younger sister yesterday to COVID-19. The song's about the suicide of her father. So I cannot imagine the hurt today. But, you know, I talked to Peyton Davis a couple days ago, and she knows the path now. And I know that for the rest of her life, she'll use these stories to help other people because I know her. And you know, one of the things about coming back here that's special now to me is the number of people in the last year and a half whose lives have been changed by post-traumatic winning. And I get to, you know, go have lunch with one of them today. And these are young Marines. Some were raised in good families, some were not. In every one of their cases, it was either, you know, tragedy that created the trauma in the form of death, child abuse, sometimes by family members, kids who lived in, you know, essentially didn't have any trauma in their life. And then one of their parents kills themselves. And I get a chance to meet them and see them and talk to them again. And I'll tell you, I mean, it's probably the coolest part of everything that has happened to me is to see them up on their feet, to see them strong, to hear how they're, you know, they know what to do when they struggle, to hear how they help other people. And I know that's where Peyton's going to go. I know that's where Kurt and his family are going to go. And so, it's on days like today when, you know, you look into the blackness and there's nothing you can do. How do you make it go away? How do you put a bow on it? And the answer is you don't. You get through it. You know, you help each other, you love each other. And you just, with the confidence that you know the path. I know where we have to go, as opposed to, I don't know where this goes. I don't know how I endure this. I don't know how I bear this. I don't know how I live with it, you know? So, the 3 days that I'll be here are filled with those visits of people that were in those places and, are not in those places anymore. And, so a dichotomy of feelings today, you know, on the one hand, you know, good friends of mine are so devastated. On the other hand, I'll meet people today that have been saved. I'm not going to bullshit you. I've been straight up saved by, you know, the wisdom that has come out of all of the 4 years of interviews on this program. And so, anyway, that's the song is called Hurt. While I was listening to it, I wonder, how does this song change now? The meaning of it changed. I mean, so anyhow, again, sometimes it just doesn't seem right. The world can seem awfully, awfully, awfully cruel. In about the 5 minutes we have left, let me just, I'll give you some headlines here. Top story, in Stars and Stripes today is U.S. sends remains of 147 South Korean service members home 70 years after the start of the Korean War. So this was one of the things that came out of one of the initial meetings between President Trump and Kim Jong-un, that North Korea would cooperate with the return of remains that are of American and allied South Korean. You know, there were Brits, Australians, that fought in the Korean War. And anyway, again, 70 years later, that story is still unfolding. Top five stories in early bird today. Wait, let me give you a headline in just the news and a headline from the Wall Street Journal. Headline, just the news. Seven big hints Barr has dropped about Durham's investigation of the Russian investigators. I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, that is, of with all the other things, that is still, in my opinion, the biggest news story. If, in fact, the FBI conspired against a political a candidate for president of the United States, I mean, that will be a watershed event in American history, right? I mean, the COVID-19 thing, you know, will be the other huge story of the year. But I mean, if this, as we kind of continue to peel back the layers on the investigation and who did what to who, I believe that it's in my lifetime, I can't conceive of it. And I will tell you, I mean, and the trail of that investigation goes inside the Oval Office with the president and the vice president and the attorney general, all a part of it. So, I mean, pretty amazing stuff. Top headline in the Wall Street Journal today. I'm telling you, subscribe to it. It is the best news, right? It is the best news that you'll read. Above the fold headline in the Wall Street Journal, U.S. stocks drop on coronavirus infection surge. You know what? I don't know. That seems like a pretty pat. Headline. And we see it, it seems like, multiple times a month, right, to explain something. Investor nervousness. Opinion headlines from the editorial board of the Journal. Trump's immigration gift to China, which is his, what, H-1B visa, you know, embargo that I'm sure he's doing for political reasons, right? So, I mean, those visas are the source of very, very gifted people coming to the United States and working. And now those people will go to China. And so, so the president, you know, sometimes he does things. And I'm sure his supporters will say, well, these are things that he argued for the process reformed, blah, 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 blah. And this is the only way he can get it. Okay. Maybe. But the consequences of that are, right. And then they'll rebut with, it's the only way. It's the only venue he has. So, anyway, the Wall Street Journal's top editorial from their editorial board. And then an opinion piece, another one by a black man, Jason Riley, entitled, "No, Police Racism Isn't an Epidemic." So, again, from the Wall Street Journal, top five stories in early bird today. The headlines are this. Number one, Pentagon's top tech expert, and there's two of them, are resigning. Question is, why? Mike Griffin, who became the Defense Department's first Undersecretary of Research and Engineering in early 2018, and his deputy, Lisa Porter, have both submitted their resignations, according to the website Defense News. They will both be exiting the building on July 10th. In a letter to research and engineering staff, Griffin and Porter wrote that a private sector opportunity has presented itself to us, offering us an opportunity we have decided to pursue together. Said it's been a pleasure working with everybody, blah, 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 blah. So another resignation at the Pentagon, this time doesn't seem, at least outwardly appear, for political reasons. R&D. You would imagine, hello, they might find lucrative work outside of the administration. Yay. In fact, to me, the only reason you take that job and do it for any period of time is because you can make hundreds of millions of dollars once you do that and have those connections and go to work for a private company. Number two story. No, ma'am. Pentagon down to just a handful of women appointees, spotlighting the history of inequality. when Elaine McCusker, Catherine Wheelbarger, and Lisa Porter announced their resignations from the DOD within a week of each other, it represented more than just the opening of more empty seats at the Pentagon. It represented the exodus of top women in the DOD. There are 60 spots in the Pentagon that require Senate confirmation, according to the DOD. And once the department, McCusker, Wheelbarger, and Porter led are complete by July 10th, only three of those spots will be filled by women who were appointed in the Trump administration. So the article goes on to be critical of the Trump administration and their lack of diversity. Number three, a low-flying show of force. Now, you read the headline, and what do they talk about? Well, a show of force is something that, you know, you do in the military. We used to do in Afghanistan when we couldn't find bad guys. We'd fly somebody really low, normally fixed-wing jets over them, very low, designed to get them to move. And so I knew that that's what this story would be about, is Washington, D.C., hemmed in by police on all sides, Camellia Magnus feared that the military helicopter descending on downtown Washington might unleash a final assault on protesters. It was June 1st, nearly 3 hours after federal police in riot gear charged largely peaceful demonstrators as they gathered near the White House to protest the killing of George Floyd. Magnus and others had lingered downtown past the 7 p.m. curfew. Military helicopters had been flying high overhead, seeming to track their movements, but shortly before 10 p.m., a Black Hawk swept low over protesters in Chinatown and held its position, producing gusts of snapped thick tree branches and swirled the air with volleys of dust and broken glass, sending many running for cover in panic. Quote, "I thought they were going to land," Magnus 24 said. Now, right, the importance of all this was, where would this come from? And initial indications are it comes from as high as the Secretary of the Army. So anyway, a very, very detailed, with a map, right, article that's out of the Washington Post today. Number four, Congress has questions about the Air Force and the Navy's next generation fighter programs. You think? These fighter programs are taking up more and more of the nation's budget. And so to me, you know what will expedite the move to fighterless and pilotless, and not fighterless, but pilotless drones? Because the DOD budget cannot sustain the level of spending desired by the Air Force and the Navy. Right? Shipbuilding a priority, all the other defense priorities, and aviation budgets continue to explode. So aviation's got to get more inexpensive. It can't be sustained in the manner in which, like the F-35, it sucks all the oxygen out of the room. Number five. John C. Stennis was an ardent segregationist. Is it time to change the carrier's name? Again, so, you know, what the nation's going to confront is, you know, the Democratic Party, the Dixiecrats, and are we going to bleach our history, or are we going to begin to look at our history and say, you know, throughout our history, we've been led by flawed human beings? At the end of the day, will there be a statue, a monument left standing in the country? All of them are flawed, to include Dr. Martin Luther King. So at what point do we have a grown-up conversation about the sins of our past? Hopefully sooner than later. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Jack Hoban joins us here on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.